Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora everyone and welcome back to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrick from the New Zealand Spirit Guide. And today we've got something a little different in our glass. We're not in a distillery per se, but we are with a brilliantly crafted, ready-to-serve cocktail born right here in Aotearoa. When I visited the Besos Margarita production space in Auckland, I couldn't believe that this all started as a single cocktail on a menu in his restaurant. It's now a full-blown cocktail operation. Based in Auckland, Besos Margarita is the brainchild of Luis Cabrera, a chef originally from Jalisco, Mexico. With decades of culinary travels from Mexico City to Venice, Boston to Milan, Luis finally made Aotearoa his home. And now he's poured his passion into creating a bottled margarita that aims to deliver the real deal. So grab your ice, your chili salt, if you're feeling spicy, and join us as we dive into the story behind Besos, the flavor philosophy, and what's next in this exciting Kiwi Mexican adventure. Let's get into it. Luis, welcome. Thanks very much for being here.
Amazing. Thanks for hosting me, Susie.
Lovely. Right. Now, to start us off, you grew up in Jalisco, Mexico, the birthplace of tequila. Can you tell us a little bit about those early years there and how that landscape of agave and tradition shaped your view on cocktails and spirits?
Well, obviously, it's not that I started drinking tequila since I was really little, the culinary traditions of Jalisco is very vast. There's influence from different parts of the different continents, actually, in that area. So I remember going out with my parents, with my mother, and eat constantly different styles of food, different ingredients, etc. So I started like falling in love with eating out since I was really little. My mother, my parents were lawyers, both of them, so quite often they didn't necessarily have the time to eat at home like most family do. So we quite often would go out and eat outdoor. Well, that's the first approach to hospitality in a way to me.
Yeah.
But clearly being in Jalisco, everybody talks about tequila. Everything is about tequila now. And I remember I tried it at some point when I was kind of young, just out of curiosity, not to get drunk at all, just to get an idea what this tequila about. And I hate it. Of course, it's not something that a normal kid would think is okay to drink it at all. So I tasted it and it like, oh my God, why people get crazy about this thing, you know? But it was different to what most of Kiwis are used to. Like when we drink tequila in Mexico, it's often just sipping it, or most of the time sipping it. So I was surprised when I came to New Zealand that pretty much everybody knew about tequila is shots. That's it. That's the only way about to drink tequila. So it's when I started to kind of get into the world of tequila, I guess.
Right. Okay. And then you embarked on quite the culinary journey from Mexico City, Venice, Boston, Dublin, Milan, and Sydney. What was it about New Zealand that made you settle here and what inspired you to open a restaurant in the first place?
I would say pure luck or destiny. I mean, I was not planning to stay in New Zealand more than 3-4 months, actually. I had a job offer in Sydney. I was a chef in an Italian restaurant in Leichhardt in Sydney. And the process of the application took a little bit longer than expected. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I go to New Zealand in the meantime. But yeah, came with my wife, and the first thing I did is like, okay, I'm gonna look for a job while we wait for the visas for Australia. I'm gonna find a job, and went to Mexican restaurants, and not a single restaurant was interested on hiring me, even though I had a lot of experience and being Mexican, you know. And I found it interesting that out of 5 restaurants I went, there was not a single Mexican involved. I went to one, the head chef was Chinese, the head chef Fijian, the head chef from Iran. And I kind of realized there was no real authentic traditional offering in New Zealand, except a place in Ellerslie that was Mexican specialties. And right. And that was really popular. So I said, okay, I want to go and see what's the story. And I guess was very close to the kind of authentic, because they were using cans of chili, cans of salsa, cans of beans from Mexico. So
right.
People in Mexico will use them, you know? So it was in a way authentic, but not necessarily high quality or the best representation of Mexican food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of that stuck in my mind, but then I applied for a job in an Italian restaurant in Parnell, Non Solo Pizza, and they gave me a job as a sous chef. So after a year, I still was thinking, am I going back to Australia, or there's an opportunity to do something authentic here? And unfortunately, we find me and my wife, Cecilia, we saw the opportunity to open a little restaurant in the CBD, like literally was like, I don't know, like 3x4 kind of little space.
Right, tiny space.
Tiny. Talked to the landlord. I said, we just want to find out how much it costs. We'd like to do this kind of thing. What kind of idea? Like this. Well, this is my CV. This is my experience. Some of the awards I have. Like, oh my God. I mean, what you want to offer for that little place, that little space doesn't really make sense. You need something proper. And they showed me the other, there's around 200 square meter space available. And I was like, oh, well, would be fantastic, but it's far from anything we can afford at the moment. But they loved the idea so much that they said, well, we're more than happy to help you to put it together. And then we slowly just repaying the rent. And I said, well, I guess it's a very generous offer. And I never had my own restaurant. So I said, why not give it a shot? And yeah, so it lasted.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you opened Besos Latinos in Auckland, specializing in ceviche and cocktails. You told me in the restaurant, the margarita was the only cocktail that you served. Now that's really bold. Why did the focus become just on the margarita?
Okay, so it was very frustrating knowing that barmans constantly were changing the recipes, not necessarily always voluntarily, but if they were busy or if they had day off, so then the different barman would change the recipe, or most of the time it was all over the place, really inconsistent. Not necessarily cocktails were bad, maybe they were tasty or they were enjoyable, but my concern is that those cocktails were not helping my food to taste good. Quite often will be taking the spot of my food, you know, and I was dedicating a long time to develop the menu, the dish and the balance, etc. And if suddenly the cocktail they received was overly fruity or too alcoholic or too sweet or too acidic, then totally the experience was not enjoyable, not fully enjoyable. So I got frustrated after 3-4 years of hoping things were going to improve, like trying to keep the barman for longer, as much as their visas allow them most of the time. And so had a recipe specifically developed with my taste, as well, concerned about this cocktail is going to help my food. but still, it was almost impossible to keep them consistent. So I said, okay, that's it. We're just going to make one, and this one would need to match everything. But I cannot rely on barmans because they do their own twist. And as well, I mean, when I read a recipe, quite often I might not do exactly what it says on the recipe.
Yeah, you always say a little bit more.
Yeah, and you have to adjust it to what you like personally, you know?
Yeah.
So fair enough. So I said, okay, that's going to be the never-ending scenario unless I do it myself. And I did it, and I was pretty happy with it. But what customers loved at the beginning is the fact of just not how good was it, but at the same time, how quickly it arrived to the table, you know? And you wait like... Nowadays, you're lucky if you get your cocktail in less than 20 minutes, you know, on a Friday or Saturday. And in this case, within a couple of minutes, the cocktail was straight away on the table, you know, and it was at the beginning a little bit of a shock to customers that literally they just ordered the cocktail and it was
right there.
Almost immediate. Yeah. And at the beginning, people were like, not really convinced of drinking it because they're like, I want a freshly made one, so how come this is too fast to make it a fresh one? So customers were like, nah, if it's pre-made, I'm not gonna drink it, you know. But the explanation that my waiters were prepared to explain to the customers is like, this is a chef recipe, so nobody does this recipe. It's developed by the chef. So out of 100% of the people, the explanation was justified. Okay, if the chef made it, makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we said, like, but if you try it and you don't link it, if you don't like it, then you don't pay it. But there's no other option anyway. So
yeah.
That's the only option
of it. Absolutely.
It was risky, but it worked, and people my average sale of margarita per customer was 2.3 margaritas per customer. So as soon as they arrive, they haven't even finished reading the entree options, and they already have way the first margarita.
They've got a margarita in front of them. Right. So you went, so that was the whole idea of doing the batch cocktails in your restaurant. And of course, then the shift came, the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
Your restaurant was closed. So you began your signature margarita to customers to enjoy in their own homes. Can you walk us through how it evolved from obviously your pre-batched in your restaurant to your ready-to-serve cocktail that then ended up being distributed nationwide? Can you give us the short version of how that evolved quickly?
Okay, I'll try to do the short version. Okay, so clearly we had the lockdown and my customers were able to buy takeaway food, but not takeaway margaritas. And everybody was really used to eating my food with my margaritas, that they felt there was something lacking, missing from the takeaway food. And the people were like, we love your takeaway food, Bernard, but it's like going to in the morning and get a croissant, but you cannot get a coffee. It's like, you need something, you know? And I kind of told them, well, unfortunately, I'm not allowed to sell it, but what tequila you have, I kind of guide them, and they said, no, it's not the same, you know? My limes are not the same, I have the balance. So I said to them, okay, bring your products here to the restaurant, leave them outside in a bag, and I mix them for you, and they just give me a tip. That's it, fair enough. So that took me, I don't know, 15 minutes, mix it. Oh, thank you very much. Until they start spreading the word, and people were going, leaving their whatever they have tequila available, and I was mixing to them until they ran out of their tequila. But believe me, that took a couple of weeks for everybody to finish their tequila, you know? And then I said, oh, okay, what would be the other ideal scenario that me able to sell it? But with the restaurant license, you can't do that, you know? So I approached the liquor shop in the corner and I said, can I make some bottles of margarita and then just tell my customers, go and buy them from you. And they said, yeah, okay. So I'm going to explain this very quickly. So I made 6 bottles, took them to the liquor store. The first customer, after I print an A4 page, put it in the entrance of the restaurant, go and get my margarita now. The first customer that went called me, like, they don't have your margarita. Like, doesn't make sense. I went and dropped them. And then I called the place and they said, no, we sold those 6 bottles already. Like, to who? I don't know. Somebody saw it and took them. I'm like, okay. So call the customers, wait for me, I'm going to make more. How many you need? 2. Okay, don't worry, wait for me. Start making 2, and then the store owner called me, like, actually make 6 because I want to keep all the 4. I'm like, okay. So start mixing again. And then they call me, no, she wants to take all the 6 you're making now. I'm like, oh my God. So kind of got out of control within the first 20 minutes of my business. And so I guess that was a really hectic start, but show the potential, you know. And never intended to keep going. I was like, okay, just doing during the first month of lockdown, okay, when we were allowed to sell takeaway food. But then it kept dragging and dragging. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do another week, another month. And within the first couple of months, I was starting, my batches were 4 liters. And it was like a yogurt container, 4 liter yogurt container, mixed in my margarita. They were my batches, 4 liters. And within 3-4 weeks, I was starting to make 40 to 60 liters. And by the time the third month, I was doing 80 to 100 liters. So it was like me went to Metro Chain, got buckets, and started mixing like crazy. The thing is that people were drinking margaritas at the house and taking photos on social media. Oh, drinking margarita. Oh, these margaritas are like, oh, good on you. And everybody was planning, getting it from this place next. And they started ordering from the liquor shop in Wellington, Dunedin, Christchurch. Yeah. So they were shipping and they were like, oh my God, this is actually generating more money than I was expecting. So at some point didn't make sense to worry about even opening the restaurants when this was making more money at some point. Yeah.
And so that's how Vesos Margaritas started. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the basics for those people that don't know. A classic margarita is made with 3 key ingredients, tequila, lime juice, and orange liqueur. Now, I've had my fair share of margaritas as well over the years. There's been some great ones and some not so great ones. And when it comes to pre-batched, honestly, they've often taste more like syrup than spirits, full of artificial flavors and missing that sort of fresh zing. But when you pour a Vesos margarita at home, it does genuinely feel like something that you've crafted by a top mixologist. It's balanced, it's bright, and it really does taste like the real deal. Can you tell us now about the ingredients and how you've managed to balance that authenticity while still keeping it shelf stable?
Okay, obviously, that was challenging at the beginning because I'm not a mixologist or a barman. And if you ask me about making any other cocktails, I wouldn't have a clue how to make other cocktails. But when I started working on a margarita, I said, okay, what are the ingredients for a margarita? Put them in front of me. I don't even remember at all ever looking on Google or on a recipe book about what a margarita ingredients or what's the ratio. I just literally started, okay, those are the ingredients, I'm going to blend it to my taste. Quite often people at the beginning were saying, oh, well, this is not taste like margarita. Well, this is Vesos margarita. This is my recipe. So I don't know if it's going to take like the one you read on Google or it tastes like Vesos margarita. Huh? I'm like, okay, well, okay. So you have to start with quality ingredients. Like any great recipe, you cannot go cheap on the main ingredients. So I had to go 100% blue agave tequila. I was using instead of Control, Grand Marnier, or Triple Sec, I was using something that Patron did called Patron Citrange out of orange, but base was agave. So I was like, oh my God. And then they discontinued in New Zealand, so I started making my own triple sec with that taste on my mind. Mm-hmm. So I do my own triple sec. We do our own triple sec for my margarita. So tequila, triple sec, lime juice, and some people add agave honey or agave syrup. But in this case, I do a lime syrup.
Oh, okay.
Another thing that is really important to achieve this kind of wow factor on a margarita is about the balance. You can have the right ingredients and you can ruin the most expensive tequila in the world if you don't know how to balance it.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it was almost like a wanted to trick my brain whether I enjoyed more my three glasses of margarita, but one had 2 mil more of lime, the other one have 3 more mil of tequila, 2 more mil. Believe it or not, even if I mix them, I was like, I don't know, I feel like I like this one most.
And yeah,
and then I said, okay, well, this is the right acidity, but not the right sweetness. Or this is the right alcohol, but is the lime is shining. So took me a while. I don't think I got drunk at any stage because I needed to be focused. But yeah, it took me a lot of trial and error to perfect it. But literally, I can tell you, I went like gram by gram, drop by drop, until I was like, okay, this is it.
To get that, and often like distillers do, you know, to get that perfect blend for their spirits. Now, your product line now includes creations like Classica, your Habanero for the spicy lovers out there, an Espresso Margarita for the people that like Espresso Martinis, an Agave Sour, which is really outstanding, and of course, your canned RTD Lagera. How do you decide on those flavors and maintain the same signature Bisos style while branching out?
Well, it's I guess fairly simple in a way, because every other flavor that I do, still 70% Bisos Classica, you know? So that's the core. So I just need to carefully add whatever extra flavors I want to add, but 70% is the Classica.
Yeah.
You know? Right. So it does, they won't taste like a different maker. It will have the same soul, basically, all of them.
Right. Okay.
I'm doing all the passion fruit as well. Passion fruit that is going to be available from the first week of December at Super Liquors.
I was about to say, and then you've got your new flavor of passion fruit coming up as well. Now, Bisos means kisses in Spanish. It's such a lovely, warm and inviting name. And it's one that you've carried through from your restaurant to your bottled cocktails.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that originally? And is there any other new exciting things besides your passion fruit coming through for Bisos?
Well, the name Bisos, it was my wife's idea. Bisos, obviously kisses, you know? And what a kiss mean, if you check on the dictionary, basically it's not just something that just touch your lip, it's something that has an intention, that once it goes through your lips, it is there's an emotion, there's a memorable thing gonna happen, you know. And at the same time, in Mexico, when you sip a tequila or a mezcal, in literally in Spanish we say you do besitos, you kiss it, you do little kisses to your tequila. You don't go, you just almost, you put it right amount with care, with love, with intention, and then you appreciate it better. You know? So that's why we wanted to keep using the word Bisos. It was not something that stick in people's brain straight away. Like if we put Crazy Loco or this, like Mama Loco, or this kind of names that they're stuck in your brain, but it's like, now they stick in your brain is because now you taste it and it's going to stick in your brain, not because of the name, but because of the product. So that's why we keep it, we maintain the best one. The new exciting things we're going to be doing, well, for Christmas, I'm doing a mango cocoa blend. Just for Christmas, believe me, last time we did it, this time last year, sold out within 2 weeks, like literally. And that's going to be only available through our website. In the next 2-3 days, it's going to be loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Then, well, that's the thing I like doing is concept of chef selection. It's just me going, getting ingredients, mixing them, using Bezos as the core of the plan, but keeps me excited about let me find out how it tastes if I use this and this, and whether we can make it in bigger volumes. And
yeah,
that's it. Another one that I'm gonna be doing is a pineapple one.
That sounds exciting for summer.
Yes, believe me. So as soon as we're able to make that one, you're gonna be proud of me, Susie.
Okay, awesome. I look forward to trying that. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your craftsmanship and your vision with us today. From Jalisco to Auckland, your journey through the kitchens to cocktails reminds us of the artistry behind what's in the glass. We're grateful that you've poured it into Bezos, Margarita, into Aotearoa, into our cocktail scene. So thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much. And what I like saying, Bezos Margarita is no mess, no stress, ready to impress.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, if you're keen to explore Bezos Margarita for yourself and shake up your own award-winning cocktail for the summer season, check out nzspiritguide.com and search for Bezos Margarita. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.